ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वेदान्तडिण्डिमास्तत्त्वम् एकमुद्घोषयन्ति यत् आस्तां पुरस्तात्तत्तेजः दक्षिणामूर्तिसंहितम् Let's start with some meditation today. You can sit yourself comfortably. Closing the eyes. Take a few deep, slow breaths. Settling yourself into the still position. Let the body relax. So in the previous verse we had studied, Adi Guru Shankara said, Jnatuhu Atma Nadure Syat. The Atma isn't far away from the knower. I look here and there and I try to find. I'm searching for the truth. I'm searching for something solid outside or within myself. But Vedanta says that the knower is not far from the self. Start from there, and then you can see right behind the knower is the self itself. So when I know something, I cognize something, I see an object, there's knowledge of the object. Then a different object comes to my attention. I turn, look at that other object. So one object got replaced by the other object, or the seeing got replaced by hearing. I hear something. So the one part of the knowing is replaced. One part is temporary, conditional, conditioned on which instrument is being used, seeing, hearing, thinking, etc. And which object is the I know, which object I see, hear, think of, etc. so the instrument and the object. But in all of these cases, I know this object I see, it's familiar to me. Oh, there's another object I see, it's not familiar. Oh, now somebody's calling my name, so I'm focusing in the name. But throughout all of them, I know. I'm aware of the seeing, I'm aware of the hearing, I'm aware of the thought. So behind the temporary conditional part of the knowing, there's the constant knowingness. So each cognition, there's the conditional, temporary, and there's the constant, unchanging knowingness. Without the knowingness, how can any specific knowledge take place? It's like without the sun, how can any object be seen? How can any sun, any light be reflected from any object? So I'm the seer, I'm the one who sees. I'm the one who sees. The seer is no different from I am. I'm the consciousness. Consciousness, though, isn't the seer. Consciousness is not limited to anything. But I'm the one behind the seer. Temporary role of the seer. Conditional role. When I don't look, eyes are closed, I'm still there, the consciousness. Then I have the role as the hearer. I hear something. Behind the hearer is the consciousness. But you can't say the consciousness is the hearer. It's always the same. It's not limited by the instrument. I know something. The intellect is functioning, mind is functioning, now I know something. Now the mind is just quiet. I'm still there. So consciousness is behind the knowing faculty as well, behind all the instruments. So I don't have to travel any distance from I know, meaning I know something specific, a specific knowledge, to I am. I'm the knowingness. There's no distance to travel. Just disidentifying with the role. Disidentifying with the temporary condition. So same I, same consciousness behind any experience using any instrument. when I drop the instruments, as in deep sleep, I know, I'm aware of the fact that I know nothing, aware of nothingness. Same knowing element is there. So Vedanta says that the consciousness is evident in each and every cognition. We're caught up in what I experience, but not in the fact that I experience. I'm extrovert, analyzing, looking at the details of what I experience, how I feel, what I think, instead of that I feel, that I think, that I cognize. So any cognition that comes up, the consciousness is there, evident, every moment. Any moment, any experience, still I'm there. I am, I know. I am, I know. I'm there regardless of what experience I may be having at that moment. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Very nice. So that's Nididhyasanam on last week's verse. This week we're in number 75. So let's read the verse first. Dashamasya parijñāne, dashamasya parijñāne, nāyāsosti yathā tathā, nāyāsosti yathā tathā, swasya brahmātma vijñāne, iti vedānta dindimaha, iti vedānta dindimaha. Dashamasya parijñāne nāyāsosti yathā tathā swasya brahmātma vijñāne iti vedānta dindimaha. There is no exertion in knowing that the tenth person is indeed safe. In the same way, there is no exertion involved in knowing one's own true nature as Brahman, declares Vedanta. So this is based on a story, which is one of the classical stories in Vedanta, which helps to point out the truth about ourselves and how truth about ourselves and how to find ourselves like this. So what happens, the story is like this, that in a boarding school, there are a batch of boys that are staying there. And then there was day off, Thanksgiving, or what was there, right? So a batch of them are still in the boarding school because some go home, some it's far away, so they have to stay there, too far away from them to travel. So 10 of them are have to stay there throughout the holiday. So there's some staff members, of course, some teacher that's there. They can't stay by themselves. So they make a request. You know, we have the day off. You know, we don't have too much homework. So we want to go. We want to go out and have a picnic that day. So the teacher in the school says, okay, you can do it. But, you know, you have to. I can't go with you because somebody's to stay here. So you all have to behave. The oldest one, you're the oldest, so you're in charge. Everybody make sure listen to him. You have to come back by this time, etc., etc. Gives the conditions. They're all very happy. They say, yes, yes, we'll do all that. No problem. We won't cause any trouble like this. So, and he says, okay, and make sure you stay on this side of the river because there can be a strong current, etc., like this. Oh, yeah, we won't go beyond the river. Don't worry. We're going to behave. So, of course, what we're said not to do, especially that age, then it means. So they all were so happy the next morning. They packed their lunches and they all went out to enjoy their picnic. And they're going. And then, of course, they go. And then some of the naughtier ones say, hey, you know, it's going to be very fun to cross the river and go to the other side. And some of them, of course, say, no, no, no. The teacher said we shouldn't go, etc. No, don't be a sissy. Of course, we can do it. And it's so much more fun, you know, of course, all this. So then they agree, okay, they're going to swim across. So they all go. They take their turn. Somebody carries the bag with all the picnic stuff, whatever. They go and cross. When they get to the, after everybody gets to the other side, then the older one, who's supposed to be in charge, says, okay, everybody, you wait now. The teacher told me I'm in charge. I have to make sure everybody's here because, you know, otherwise I'll be in trouble first. So he says, stop running around. I want to count everybody to make sure everybody's here. So everybody don't stop running around. And he counts, right? There are 10 boys. So he counts, looks at all those in front of him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He sees 9 in front of him, right? And he says, oh, okay, one moment. Let me count again. And of course he counts, and he counts only 9. So he's very worried. What happened? We were 10. So did something happen? Did somebody drown? Did somebody, you know, not cross the river? What's wrong here? So another one says, oh, you're silly. Just because you're older doesn't mean you know better. Let me count. So he counts them also. 1, 2, 3, 4, like this, 9. And then they're very worried. They're all, nobody figures out. And they're very worried because what happened? They're not even figuring out who's lost. They're thinking somebody might have drowned. And this is such a tragedy. And there'll be so much trouble. So they don't know what to do. So they're sitting there and crying and, you know, very depressed and all. So after a little while, some elderly man is coming by, and he sees the boys crying there, and he asks, what happened? Why are you guys so sad? It looks like a tragedy happened. They say, yes, there's a big tragedy. What happened? So they explain exactly what happened. He says, oh, I see. That's, you know, that could be very serious trouble. And he says, but you know what? I know the 10th boy is safe. I know he's safe. I know where the 10th boy is. I can. So there, a lot of the burden is, you know, removed from their shoulders. Oh, okay. You know, there must be some solution. Very good. Please, please tell us. He says, okay, no problem. You guys all sit here. He takes one of the boys. You're the older one. You count them. Count them. I already counted a few times. Don't worry. You count them and I'll show you how you're going to find where the 10th boy is. Okay, no problem. So he counts, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then the old man says, you are the 10th boy. So then, oh, I'm the 10th boy. I didn't count myself like this. So this is the famous story of the 10th boy, like this, the 10th. That's why here it said the 10th. Now what happens is, so the 10th boy, was the 10th boy missing? No, the 10th boy wasn't missing. What did they have to do to find the 10th boy? Like an example here, to do something, there's not as much, they can search, right? They can run around searching. They can do so many things. They can pray. They can do a special puja, right? can do so many things, but will any of those bring the tenth boy? They'll do some, you know, none of those things will bring the tenth boy to there. Another classical example for this is what's called Kanta Chamikara Nyaya. This is the illustration of the neck and the necklace, right? That the lady has a very expensive necklace, very expensive golden necklace her husband got for her for their engagement earlier that year. And she's going to go out, and then she's looking all over for the necklace. And she's so worried because she's not finding it. It's very costly and very attached to it. And husband really likes when she wears it. And then she's worrying and looking here and there. Her friend is helping her search everywhere. And then when her friend says, okay, tell me exactly what the necklace looked like. And as she's describing it, then the design sounds very much like what she has on. So she says, just take your hand and feel here. You know, you can't see because the balding my head's in the video, but feel around the neck. She feels, and then, oh, the necklace was already on her neck. So all the searching out there is not going to help her find the necklace, because all the running here there is not going to help her find, right? The moment it's pointed out to her, what does it take for her to know where the necklace is? No time. Like this. So this is this illustration. Now what happens is I'm looking for myself. I want to know myself. Who am I really? I'm the the guru says, you're the Atma, you're the consciousness. Oh, very good. Where will I find this? Should I go on pilgrimage? Right? Should I do this meditation? Should I do all this tapas? What should I do to find it? He says, no, you don't have to do it. Just know you're that. Well, what to know? Well, you're that. You already know. Just whatever else put aside, right? Panchakosha, all these things put aside. You feel the body. Yes, you're aware of the body. So it's not the body. Put the body aside. Because I say I am there. But I take everything else, but the main part I forget. I say, okay, what faculties do you have? Well, I have the body, very good. And I can see, and I can hear, and I can touch, and I can think, and I can feel, very good. And what? That's it. But what about you, the consciousness behind it? This one we forget. We're all caught up in all the other parts, and we're not aware of that one, like this. So when I count every faculty of myself, I count body, and senses, and mind, and life force, and intellect, and etc., etc., etc. But I, the conscious being, know. This one I forget in this way. And that's the essential one. And to be, what happens also, I'm conscious, I'm aware. What effort does it take to be a conscious being, to be aware? What effort are you putting in, right? That we say choiceless awareness, because you've no choice in it. You are a conscious being. So anything else will take some effort, right? I want to understand this. What was that term you said? What does it mean? Please explain to me. It takes effort to think of something, to figure out a problem. It takes effort. To do any kind of task, any work, it takes some effort to do it, right? I want to make a nice Thanksgiving meal for my family. It takes effort. No, I'm too lazy in this to do. I'm just going to order it. Very good. You have to pay the money for it, meaning you have to work to make money to do it, so it takes effort. It takes so much effort to go to Google and search and find, type a little bit, look at the reviews. The effort will get less and less. We'll say, tell ChatGPT my requirements and it'll do and we're done, right? So less and less effort needed now. So the newer generation will have even less and less effort to do anything. But they're very unfortunate. What can we do? This convenience is not the best thing, but that's another story. But in any case, anything else takes effort. But to be conscious, to be aware, takes no effort, because what's natural to something is natural. It's always there. So just like the tenth boy doesn't count himself, but everything else, I take all these other faculties of mine, but the main part I forget. And then we'll say, okay, There was a big problem because this boy was silly and didn't think of this, forget, didn't think when he was counting to count himself too. Then he made that mistake. So then he thought, okay, so then he thought there's a big problem. But here, what's the big deal? Well, here it's as big a deal as that and a bigger deal, because there'll be some trouble, right? Here, it's a huge problem because that's one time problem. One time there's a problem here. How many problems do I have because of this? How much? Because then, if I don't identify, I don't know Atma, I don't identify with Atma, then what happens is I identify with something else, right? I identify with the individual I take myself to be. And what happens? It's the issue there with the boy was avidya, ignorance. Ignorance of, okay, you have to see this, you're there, you're one of them. Don't forget that one. So here, it's avidya, ignorance. The ignorance of myself is there. And because the ignorance is there was that ignorance, so then all the problems came up because of that ignorance. Ignorance of, I'm the 10th boy. So all the problems came up. The moment that ignorance was removed, all the problems, the whole problem is gone. Whole thing is totally gone. There's no problem anymore. Kids will just enjoy the picnic, have fun, do all sorts of stuff, mischief, come back a little late, get a little bit, the teacher will yell at them a little bit. They won't mind because they had so much fun. So what's the big deal? Small punishment for this great day they had, and finished. No problem. All gone. All done. So here, all the problems are there. If the avidya is removed, all the problems are gone, just like the problem of the problems of this of these boys, like this. So because of ignorance, I don't see clearly, I'm the consciousness. Then I jump to the conclusion, because Maya, how is it? Shakti dvayahi maya vikshepa vritti rupini, like this from a different text. So, okay, Maya has two powers. One is avarana, the covering, the ignorance, and vikshepa, then the tossing, meaning jumping to some other conclusion. I'm here, I'm a conscious being. There's the ignorance of what the conscious being is, so I jump to conclusion what it is. Well, it's this body. This body, must be conscious. This mind must be conscious. I, the individual, must be the conscious being. And then all the problems of the individual, I get all wrapped up in them, and the whole thing becomes one big drama, like this. One big drama, and how much suffering I go through. And I try to solve all this suffering, just like the boys ill run around and try to find there, fix the problem. As we said, some will be running around searching. One will be going back into the water and looking here and there, right? One of them will be doing mantras and puja, try to help to something like this to help. All these different things they'll do, but none of that is going to find it because those are actions. So the action to bring a result. Now, self-knowledge, if it is the result of an action, anything that's the result of an action, meaning karma phala, I do an action, the result is there. Can the result not be limited? You do an action, you have an unlimited result. Doesn't make sense. Whatever effort you put in, the result will be of that nature, equal, it'll have the whatever the effort put in, that much result will be there, right? You can't have effort of 10 and get 1,000, get infinite here, not limited. Doesn't work. So the result of an action is not self-knowledge. Because if it's the result, also if it's the result of something, then it can something that's the result is temporary. Any result is temporary. Because the moment something was brought about by something, it's part of the chain of action and react of action and result. There's a whole chain, action, reaction. So any part there is the result of something, and then the cause of something else, and it also eventually will go away. So that can't be. It can't be the result. And a result, when you have an action and the result, then you bring in effort. No action can be done without effort. And also you have, you then you have to have time. Action, reaction, you need time. You can't, that's part of the whole thing. Because without time, then this whole model of action, reaction, can't, doesn't have anywhere to stand. Okay? So you're bringing time, you're bringing space, because action, reaction, you need space, all this stuff you need. Now what happens is, because we're used to that, then we think this will be a similar thing. I'm going to study this one, Samvedanta Dindima class, and then we're going to study Dhritarashtra Viveka. We'll study this Upanishad, that Upanishad, then I'll know myself. Meaning, there is some process, and the end of the process, this is there. Meaning, there's a process, action, and then the reaction will be there. This is how we think it's going to be. So meaning now, when we think of it like this, the mind has its has a wonderful excuse. The wonderful excuse is, okay, now I'm doing Shravanam, and I'll do some Mananam, and I'll do some more Shravanam, I'll do some Nididhyasanam, and then I'll know the self. So there's a process, and at the end. And so the mind can always delay it. Yes, 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 I need to do a little more, maybe one more course. Maybe I have to do a little look, you know, a little more, and then I'm going to know. So the mind is delaying knowing the self because actually the mind itself, the ego doesn't want to know the self because the ego wants to exist, right? It's like working yourself out of a job, right? You know, if you do this much, you don't need anywhere. You're going to work yourself out of the job. Of course, if righteous person and they know if they get all this done, they don't need them anymore. And they do, that's a different story. But in general, you don't want to become, the ego become redundant like this. So the ego doesn't want that. It wants to stick around. So it's a nice thing for the ego. I will know. But it's also just a misnomer. I will know later. But it's something we always know. Just I have to a little clarification needed. Yes. What's there that's constantly there? Just look into it. It's not I will know. I know it already. Just a little misunderstanding in this way. So it's not a process and then I will get to it. If it's a process and then that's part of anatma. All processes are in anatma, right? The the whole world made out of cause and you have the physical elements, right? You have meaning you have the space, you have time, mind, you need the mind for time, and then you have causation. Then you have the world, because you need space and time, and you also need causation for everything, a whole process to take place for the world to be here. So then causation also is part of the world. It's not going to be pertain to Atma. Because Atma, self-knowledge and Atma, they're not two different things. It is Atma. I know I'm Atma. So I know I am Atma myself. That's it. So this is the misnomer. Because the moment I bring space and time into place, space and time now, I'm this, for space then, this individual is here, this meaning this individual is this body. Because space meaning identification with the body is space, brings about space. We discussed in the last week's class also about that, that body identification brings limitation in space. Drop the body identification, where is space limitation? Right? Dream, deep sleep, where'd the space go? No individual body, where is space? Right? I have to separate myself in order to be limited in space. And the mind is limitation in time. Identify with the mind, that's limitation in time. When the mind is quiet, where's time? Right? In deep sleep, where's time? Sometimes you meditate, you sit, the mind is quiet for some time. Oh, 10 minutes went by, 15 minutes went by, I thought it was a very short time. Where's time? Because there's no succession of events. So I bring those into the fold, then there's the body-mind. As the awareful being, those aren't, it's not of that same dimension. You can't put the body-mind within that, like this. Those are appearing within the awareness that I am. So in this way, it's not something to be delayed. The old man, when pointed it out, you're the 10th boy, didn't point out something new, right? It's not something that had to become, had to do, to get to something, not something was bound. And then he'll say, when am I the 10th boy? When did I become the 10th boy? When did he become the 10th boy? And he never became, always, that's always him. The whole, you know, he's the 10th boy. There's no when there. How did he become the 10th boy? He was. He already was. It's not becoming. Because he didn't become anything. Because what happens is, I identify as the individual I take myself to be, and then I think I need to become something. Okay, if I become this, I become more of a Sanskrit scholar, then I'll know these texts better, and then I'll know myself like this. I'll become, you know, this idea of becoming, I'm identifying with the instruments. It's true, as I'm doing the inquiry, I see, yes, I refine the instrument so it's easier to look into it. Yeah, that's, of course, that one has to do, as long as one is looking into it, one has to do it. No problem, because we see that there might be some obstruction for my seeing it, so we do that. So that process, yeah, that we can say is a process, no problem. But the actual knowledge, self-knowledge isn't like this, isn't a process like that. Now also, what happens is the old man, he was very clear what it, you know, very clear, yes, I know what it is. The Vedanta very clearly points out, yes, you are this. There's no doubt, no question, right? No question, you're the Atma. Now again, as we say, what is the Atma? Well, it's not the body, not the mind. Now, remove all those, what there? You have the group of 10, not these 9. Which one's left? You're left. You don't. So for the negation aspect, maybe this story isn't the example for it, but we know. Here it's more negation. But in any case, so very clearly, yes, I know. And yes, I can show you, I'll point it out. But you now point out, you know, you're the 10th, you look and see you're the 10th. Because if he'll say, okay, count, no, why should I count? I counted so many times, it won't work. how do you know, how's that going to work? No, try. No, I already tried too many, so many times, so I don't think it's going to do it, sorry. So the boy had to have Shraddha. The old man, the guru, is pointing out, listen, I know, you can see it, just look from this angle, right? And he says, you are the 10th. What do you mean? What do you mean me? I'm counting, I'm here, I'm counting. Has to right away look at it. He says, you're the 10th. Oh, okay, that's true. So I say, you're the Atma, you're the conscious being, not this body mind. But then all my conditioning, what do you mean? How can it be? We don't have that same, we have to have that Shraddha, the preparedness, and Shraddha, the conviction in it. You're aware. What does that have to do with where you are? Nothing. So where it's not bound by space, how the body is, what condition the body is, where it is, whether it's waking or dream, deep sleep, makes no difference. So it doesn't have anything to do with space. You're the awareful being. And when are you the awareful being? Oh, I'm the awareful being in the morning when I meditate, I feel good. And sometimes when I go for a walk, rest of the time, I don't think I'm the awareful being. What do you mean? When are you? You're always the awareful being. Doesn't have to do with time. It doesn't have to do anything with time and space. And you're that one. We hear it, but then we don't have that same Shraddha that, yes, I'm that. But then the mind comes with, but I am, but what about this problem? What am I going to do? Always the but. And then also, there's all the habits. Yes, I'm the awareful being. I see I'm the awareful being. And then something else comes up. Oh, but I'm very busy with this. Let me not be the awareful being now. Let me be this individual. It's all caught up with this stuff. Let me look into that later. Like this. So it's not important enough. There are things that are more important than the fact that I'm awareful being. Doesn't matter, you know. Can get things done, and what needs to get done can get done, but that doesn't change the fact that I'm the awareful being, like this. So in this way, it illustrates it in a nice way, but then we have to have that Shraddha, that conviction, yes, it points out, let me really look at it. You know, I look at something complete, no question about it. I completely want to look at it. right? When somebody's investigating something. Legal, I don't know legal, because not as a legal case, because a legal case, there's a prerogative that each one wants to prove guilty and not guilty. So it's not real, you know, really trying to. The judge is really wanting to know, maybe. But a scientist, really, I want to know how this is, what it is, what's behind this phenomena. They want to, without question of, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, what theory works, but they want to know like this. Someone has to really have that. I want to know it. We discussed a different class, the mukshutvam. Burning desire, I really want to know. Let me look at it. It's pointed out. Let me just look at that. Doesn't matter the consequences, right? Consequence doesn't matter because I want to keep my, you know, my small world intact, and I want to know myself. How's that going to work, right? I want to have the cake and eat it too. Now, one thing is, my small world will go nowhere. If I know myself, where will the small world go? Same small world is there. I'll just see it a little differently, that's all. But the same thing is there. So I don't have to throw it out, right? Somebody may decide it's worth it. Okay, let me renounce, just look into, just put my energy in. That's another story. But still, they're going to deal with the world, the individual and things around, circumstances, they still have to be dealt with. It's not that they disappear when somebody's looking into it. But one has to, as good as, that's vairagya, as good as, let everything else as good as be gone, let me just look into what it is. Because otherwise, I want to hold my worldview and look into it. If I hold my worldview and want to look into it, my worldview is getting in the way. Because, yes, I, this individual born in this place, of this age, of this religion, and of this profession, and from this family, I want to know myself. Well, forget all those things, because those things aren't the self. Forget those and look into the self. Because they say for meditation, the father, the mother can't meditate, right? The doctor, the engineer, whatever profession can't meditate. The moment it's a role, the moment it's identified, you can't meditate. You have to drop the roles, then there'll be meditation. Because the moment I go in as a role, as identifying as a certain role, I'm disciple of this person, I took initiation this time, and I'm following the path for 10 years, now this one I'm going to meditate. How am I going to meditate? I'm going to be thinking of all those things instead of drop all the things. And then meditation will be there because I drop all the conditioning. I'm just the awareful being. Then it's meditation. So I can't take all those in. So when I try to take my worldview and bring it into Vedanta, it's not going to work because then I'm bringing all that in and that's getting in the way, right? It's cluttering. I'll clutter all my desk and I want to work. I can't. You have to clear the desk. You have your notebook. You can write down. I want to put everything else in the desk. There won't be any room for the notebook and pen to write things down like that. Interesting about that. There are different chanti mantras, some before Upanishad, some within some of the Upanishads. So there is 10 Dasha Shanti Mantra, 10 known ones like this that are chanted a lot. One of them is about mantra Om. Yas Chandasam Rishabho Vishwarupaha. So it talks about Om and a few other things. And it prays, you know, may my mind, you know, dwell on the teachings and may they, you know, may I see things in this from this angle. And then at the end of it, it says, the mind itself, even the mind with all the Vedantic teachings, is still a covering of the self. All the teachings themselves are still not the thing itself. If I'm just staying with the words, it's a covering. What they point to, the drop word has to drop. Because actually, when somebody says a word, like for instance, I'm sitting here, now it's dark, but if you were here, you'd say, oh, do you know where Mission Peak is? Because here in Fremont, we have Mission Peak, those that are familiar. We'll open the door, I'll point out, there's Mission Peak, right? Now, you have to drop the there, you know, you see where I'm pointing, you look there. Now you have to drop the finger, you have to drop the word Mission Peak. You see it? There it is. There's the mountain. Right? It's a nice hike. I've gone up twice and it's not an easy climb. Some people go up a lot, but for me, not too easy. It's the last part is quite a trek like this. So in any case, so you have to drop the pointer is pointing, then you see it. That's it. You don't need the name for it. The finger pointing, the word saying, look in that direction. So all the teachings, they're pointing to that. So they're pointing. I'm the conscious being, the awareness. I abide in that. I keep you, the words help to point to it. The words themselves aren't that. You're the tenth. Oh, tenth. What does that, what do you mean by you? You're, do you mean me? Me or the other boy, you know. You're saying in this language, but I don't agree with it, that language. Say in this language, the way I'm used to, like this, the tenth boy can be saying nonsense like that. So the word points to it. And the moment he says you, he followed the words, you're the tenth, yes, me. Oh yeah, I'm the tenth, I didn't count myself. So he followed the pointer of the word, that's what it is. The friend pointed, feel around your neck. Why should I feel around my neck? No, no, just feel, I'm helping you. No, 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 you help me find you. You're not my friend, you're just playing around, sis. No, no, just trust me, just feel it. Just they follow the words and okay, it's there. So in this way, points out, you just have to look, that's where the Mission Peak is. The conscious being behind all this body mind, that's what you are. Finished, like this. So in the end, what happens, they say, because it's so simple and obvious, we miss it. We miss it. We don't notice. We think it has to be something much more great and much more complicated and everything else. But we're so caught up in everything that we don't notice it. This is what happens. So I have all my view of the things, and those things are getting in the way because I have a worldview. Oh, the God must be like this, right? And the God must be like this, and think anything else, anything with my worldview, my view of the God, my view of myself, the individual, all these things, I bring them in, but all those things are, they're ideas. They're not what is the essence. So all those things, I try to keep them as I look into the self, and it's not possible. It won't work like this. So those things have to be, put aside, and I look into it like this. So this is some of the things being pointed out here like this. Now what happens also, as an individual, then there's always a struggle to become something, right? To overcome some problems, to deal with different external issues, to deal with the body, right? That's a big one. We're young. Most people, when they're young, there's not too much to deal with. Most, not everybody. But as we go through life, then to deal with the body and its its function, it's not functioning or functioning not how I want it to, or like this. So all these things have to be dealt with all the time. And the thing is, I'm so caught up in that, but as says here, that this whole thing then becomes whole struggle that I have. And I think that dealing with that struggle will help me to get to what I'm looking for. Again, that struggle, it's not that the body won't, somebody knows themselves, not that the body won't have problems, right? Right? That Ramana Maharshi, right, he died from cancer, meaning the body died from cancer, but as an individual died from cancer. Right, Swami Shivananji and Swami Vishwananji both were diabetic in this. So the body will have its issues. But it's of a different category then, because I take those as my own. And as a struggling individual that I'm trying to get to something like this, where's all that? Like, where's the dream? Where's the dream when I wake up? So it's a matter of, because the identity with these, that it's, that this causes like that. Okay? And what happens is I assume that all of this stuff around me that I'm caught up in, I'm attached to it. There's an attachment between me and certain people, me and certain situations, me and others. All this, I think there's something that's connecting an attachment. But where is that attachment, right? I project it and then I get caught up in it. I project there's something, I project the problem, then what? Because just like the dream, what is the dream world? A whole projection. Whole situation projected by my mind. So now I'm here present, right? There's some pain in the body maybe. Okay, I experience something and I call it pain. I project that, okay, I'm limited by that. I'm aware of pain, but no, I think I'm in pain, right? The pain is, I'm the body like this. That's not an easy one. That's one of the difficult ones. I can tell from at least my experience like this, that it's when the body's in a lot of pain, it's hard not to identify. It's true like this. You know, there's, I'm this individual, so I belong to a certain country, a certain group, a certain this. There's some problem with that. Somewhere with some people from this group, something going, now I'm attached, now I'm all caught up in that. And again, it's because, why? And I have to ask why, okay. Why that? Okay, they're all people. So some people have some problems, other people have other problems. Why? Because people have something that I identify with, they have some problem now that I'm going to be all caught up, identify with that. Everywhere in the world is suffering and problems. I wasn't a problem for me. Now this is a problem for me. Why? Like this. So in any case, so this whole structure, I assume, and I get caught up in this way. And what happens is the whole thing that I'm caught up in, whole samsara, is there as long as I give it the reality, then it's there. The dream, as long as I give it the reality, I'm caught up in it. The moment I don't give it the reality, I wake up, I know it's a dream. How can that grab me then? The moment I know I'm the awareful being, how can all this stuff grab me? It can't, because there's nothing to. It's the appearance will be there, but it can't have the same effect on me at that time like this. So this is a very important thing like this to think of. And when we look at this, you know, we really have to do it with earnestness, honestly, really looking in, because Vedanta points out so simple and clearly, and then we really just have to, just like the old man said, yes, I know where the tenth boy is, I can help, I can show you. So the boy says, yes, show me, sincerely show it, done. But so what happens here, we have to really honestly look at it, spells it out. There's body, there's mind, there's all these things, and you're the conscious being, as we were just saying. Very simply points it out, you're the conscious being. So just looking at you, clearly, simply looking into it. But the thing is, so caught up. And also we, you know, probably one of the reasons that we don't just look into it is we've tried in so many ways to find, okay, my security, my happiness, so many ways. We see so many people trying, but we don't see it. I still have the problems, I still have the issues, how much I've tried. And then so many ways promise, oh, this will take you, but then we are skeptic about those things. So to have the Shraddha conviction, yes, this is it, then it's not easy for us just to take that. But here also the conviction isn't in something else. That methodology is going to do. That religion is the right one, will take me to heaven, something like this. It's not like that. It's saying, hey, you look at it, you see. You honestly, you look at, just, you know, put those things aside, look at yourself, the conscious being, that's it. So we have to, with conviction and honesty, really look into it. This is what it is. Otherwise, nobody else can do it for us, right? I remember one time when I was in the ashram in Canada, Goswami Vishnu, he was in the wheelchair, he had a stroke, so he couldn't speak clearly, he couldn't walk. And every day, he'd be taken around the ashram. When I'd visit, then I was very fortunate that his attendant would call some of us younger disciples visiting, have us come to the house, Swami Vishnu's house, help out. He used to want to go around the ashram once or twice a day, visit different places, we'd have to take him around. So then we got to spend time with him. So he used to do impromptu satsangs because the ashram has a schedule. But he doesn't have a schedule. He gets there, okay, everybody come. It's 1 o'clock, the assembly was going to everybody come to that area, sit down, and some meditation, talks on some things, whatever. So Swami Shivananji, he used to say, serve, love, give, purify, meditate, realize. Like this is one of his, he had many different idioms or acronyms he made up. So this very nice for a spiritual path, the whole path. Serve, love, give, purify, meditate, realize. So Swami Vishnu would joke there. He'd say, okay, serve me. Okay, you serve me. Give your money to me, and I'll meditate for you. He would say that. So who can meditate for you? You serve, your heart gets purified. Right? You give, you love, you expand. You meditate, you get further. So you look into this. Nobody can look into this for you. Just because I belong to a certain group, oh, I belong to this church, I belong to this Vedanta class, then I'm going to get there. Why will that get you there? Right? you have to look into it. This Nisargadatta Maharaj, he was with this guru a few times, and he just stayed with it. He said, you're that. Don't have doubt about it. And the guru died. And he thought, why would he say that? So many gurus say that you're that consciousness. Why would they all say it? What motive would they have to not to tell the truth? They're good people. So he took it to heart and looked into it. After a few years, he knew he's the self. And then simple fellows running a small shop and chain smoker, and people from around the world started coming and hearing him because he just looked into it and knew himself. So that honestly just taking and looking into it, because so simple, and we say, how can it be? Why can't it be like this? What better explanation? If you think about it, just take a few explanations you can think of. And what better explanation than Vedanta to point out? And it points out from our direct experience. I'm conscious aware, regardless all the time. So that's really the base that's not changing. Just look into it, try, you know, the other things changing. Don't pay as much attention when you're reflecting on it. You know, as you're working, you do what's needed, but you reflect on, you look into, put them. What is the, I'm the conscious being, not these limited things. Not so hard to see like this, they say. Okay? So in this. So in the end, all of the other ideas of myself, constructs, it takes a lot to put them together and show and prove, etc., and hold that whole thing together. Any image, idea I have of myself, it has to be held together, and that also gets broken. I want to hold on to it because I want to hold on to some identity. But that one gets broken and over time and changes over time, like this. But the tenth boy, it's effortless. You're the tenth boy. Effortless. It's no effort. Once you feel the necklace, effortless, you know it's there. So same way, I'm the conscious being, as it said here, na'ayasa asti, no effort involved. What effort is there? I am. What effort are you putting in to be? I am. Any effort. Yeah, I'm very tired because I had to be so much today. How much I am. I have no effort, right? And no. Not know something specific. Let me try to understand this concept. But I know. I'm the knowingness. What effort? I just know. Choiceless awareness, we said. So there's no effort whatsoever. Anything else takes effort. So what I am, in essence, has to be the effortless part, like this. So it said, dashamasya parijnane, having the tenth boy, you know, having known oneself, na ayasa asti yata, just as there was no effort for that tenth boy to know himself, who the tenth boy was, right? In the same way, swasya brahma atma vijnane, same way, one's own self, being brahman, meaning being the infinite, unchanging, that me as the conscious being is not bound by time, not bound by space, not something that comes and goes, also is something that is effortless. So this is very important. Any effort, then I'm aware of the effort. There are things involved in the effort, mind, body, etc. But I, the consciousness, where what effort is there there? So that's actually one of the clues about Atmanless, effortless, no effort, no, because something doesn't change, doesn't interact, there's nothing for it to interact, clash with things, no effort to go, how can there be any effort there? Effort belongs to a conglomerate of things, not to just the one thing, like the space. So these are a few thoughts on this verse, another very nice one pointing this out, nice food for us for our contemplation. So let's finish with that. Om. Om. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So any questions or doubts? Let yourself be heard. Last chance for next 2 weeks. Very good. Good. So have a happy Thanksgiving. And we will continue then in 2 weeks in next class. Okay. One more.